Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Whew. Hey, Lars.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever podcasts can be found. And of course, taped live right here at the Twitch at twitch.tv/Steve and Larson. Another Hell in a Cell in the books. And boy, what a show it was. They definitely held a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view tonight. Seems to be a mix of opinions, if our chat is to be believed, but there were some real head-scratching finishes to some of these matches. I'll be honest, my take, and then I'll let you do whatever you want to do. I thought there was some really good wrestling. A lot of these finishes left a lot to be desired. Larson, have at it.
I think it was another situation, as you mentioned, where the performers are out there performing to their best. A lot of good wrestling. You can't quibble about what we saw in the ring from a performance aspect. But especially on the Raw side of things, once again, creative hamstringing the performers with shoddy, completely nonsensical finishes. In the case of Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. And where Rhea and Charlotte are outside, Rhea grabs the hood of the announce table and just like basically just kind of flips it up in the air. It hits Charlotte in the head. And for the first time I can think, that led to a DQ based on the rules WWE has created in their universe, where during the course of a normal non-DQ match, as long as you can beat the 10 count, you could. How many times has Randy Orton belly to back suplex someone to the announce table during a match? Every fucking match he has, that's how often he does it.
Yeah.
Never a DQ.
Yeah.
Never. Here, it's a DQ. In the commentary, it's like, oh, she was trying to get herself DQ'd. Like, she would look like she was reaching over and like was almost trying to use the table to pull herself up, and that happened accidentally. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I can't think of a time when that would be considered a DQ. I understand the concept of trying to make people look strong, but there's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it. And we saw tonight was a way not to do it.
You know how you make Rhea look strong? Beat Charlotte.
Well, they're not going to do that. They want to keep that. Look, the reason why I picked Charlotte to win this match was simply because I never in a million years envisioned Rhea Ripley pinning Charlotte in the middle of the ring. Never thought that was going to happen. This could have gone the other way. It could have been Charlotte flinging that table at Rhea Ripley, and same thing could have happened.
Given the story they were laying out in advance, where it was Rhea continually pushing Charlotte's button so Charlotte would fly off the handle.
Yeah.
You know, she was like going crazy because Rhea would have kept needling her and needling her and needling her. And then for this match, they decided to flip that.
Mm-hmm.
It was Charlotte the one that was needling Rhea.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, is she gonna be able to overcome that, stay focused, and get the W to get her win back after losing at WrestleMania to Charlotte last year? And the answer to that was no.
Yeah, getting the win back from WrestleMania, look, I think that'd be great. I never thought it was gonna happen at Hell in a Cell. I didn't think I honestly just figured this would have been like Charlotte straight up winning because like she's because they're resetting stuff, you know, the good shit's about to come. And I was like, okay,
you gotta
well,
stop saying that.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, because you know, they're resetting stuff. Charlotte's going to have the title again. That didn't happen obviously. But no, I think they it's funny because so many people have pointed this out. The writing between the two brands is really evident. Even I didn't even like how Rollins Cesaro's match finished, but I can appreciate what they did. I can appreciate.
From a story standpoint, it makes sense. From the story standpoint, it makes a ton of sense.
I felt like, and we'll talk about that when we get there, but I felt like that was a SmackDown TV finish to a pay-per-view match. And that was my main problem with it. The Bianca Sasha Bianca Bailey match was terrific with a killer finish. That was my match of the night easily.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley could have been a contender for match of the night, but my God, a roll up finish inside Hell in a Cell. I'd rather the finish that we saw where Brock Lesnar shows up, rips the cell door off, and gives us a no finish or a no contest or whatever when he lays out Roman and Braun because like, oh, it's violence. You know, they can't finish this match because it's violence. Then a roll up in hell after 25 minutes of sheer brutality because that was a hell of a match.
Another, there's several issues with that. That the finish to the main event was in a lot of ways in terms of the story being told too similar to the finish of Seth Rollins and Cesaro.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of similarities there. And I think at the end, they're like, how can we maximize the heel heat on Lashley for beating Drew?
Mm-hmm.
You know, interference from MVP just isn't enough. You know, it's a situation where MVP interferes leads to Drew being rolled up. Mm-hmm. And people are going to be like, oh, wow, Lashley snuck away with a win here that he might not deserve. Heat on him. But like, shit doesn't work that way anymore. When we see these finishes, they're like, why did you do that? It's not, oh, heel heat on Bobby Lashley. No, heel heat on whoever booked that garbage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And decided that was the finish of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the right kind of heat. We're not directing heat at Bob Lashley mm-hmm. for sneaking out a win and thus, you know, costing Drew any subsequent shots at the title. It's like, why would you finish this match, a blow-off match?
Yeah.
That's going to seal Drew's fate potentially in terms of going after that title for probably a few months here.
Yeah, this is it. With that's a stipulation. Roll-up. Yeah, you're done. Yeah.
With a roll-up. You could still have MVP interfere like he did at WrestleMania in more direct fashion like we saw tonight. But give Lashley the more definitive win.
Yeah. You know, even that bit of storytelling, and I'm not going to give anybody the benefit of the doubt on the Raw side of things because we see what kind of programming Raw gives us. But, you know, you had the beat at WrestleMania, and I think maybe what they're going for is you had the beat at WrestleMania where MVP distracts Drew, and that leads to him being in the Hurt Lock. Well, in this case, MVP does more than distract Drew, but Drew is still not ready for this. He's still not paying attention to the guy who screwed him over at WrestleMania, MVP. And then maybe the thought is, well, he'd be prepared for a Hurt Lock because he's been screwed by MVP before and he expects the Hurt Lock, but instead he gets rolled up. That's the only line of logic I can think in the booking of this match.
But here's the thing. When Drew gets rolled up, his back is to Lashley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Completely. You know, like his back is completely because if Drew was kind of bent over trying to get his hands on MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So if Lashley would have come behind and bang Hurt Lock, there's not much Drew could do about it.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
You know?
I agree.
It wasn't like in the situation where Drew was really
cognizant of where he was and everything.
Yeah, or where Lashley was, you know, in relation to himself or what he could potentially do. He was just completely focused on MVP rather than on Lashley. Mm-hmm. This is another thing in WWE where if you're a face and you're distracted by something, bang, you got tunnel vision on whatever that thing is that's distracting you.
You're
like completely unaware to whatever else is going on.
Yeah, and it's such an overdone, you know,
trope
that just it's rammed into the ground too much. But and then we had, so I don't know. Let's just dive into it. Maggie brings up a good point. She says, silver lining, this is the last pay-per-view. This is actually a really good point. This is the last pay-per-view in the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
You know, so this is how
hopefully they got rid of all their bad ideas here and here on out.
Well, there's good shit to come. And she says, so fans, will be able to express their opinions in person now. How do you think fans would have reacted to the finish of this match? I don't think they would have booted out of the building.
Oh, to Hell in a Cell?
To this pay-per-view tonight, like they did in 2019 with Seth versus The Fiend.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been as harsh, but mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been looked upon kindly.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. I think the last two matches, I think Rhea and Charlotte and the main event, I think both of them would have been booed pretty strongly.
I think, yeah, the no finishes people, the no contest, the Fiend, the Braun stuff, Roman stuff, they would have, they booed that. They were like, man, that crowd felt like they got screwed out of their money. Mm-hmm. I think this just would have been like, oh man, that sucks. But who knows? I don't even know if fans would be into Drew McIntyre anymore. I mean, they might have been completely turned on Bobby Lashley now. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I could be totally wrong because I'm thinking myself. But yeah, anyways, before we dive into the nuts and bolts of the review, I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of new patrons here. Cameron Cherry, Monochromatic Vice, Justin and Jerry Watts are new patrons. Get all sorts of bonus content there on the Patreon at patreon.com/... Steven Larson, also at the $20 tier, you can get the Steven Larson Going In Raw comic book. This is exclusive to the $20 Patreon. Look at that, full color, and it's got a really crazy adventure with Steven Larson here. This is good. It's a part of the Friendo Care Package.
Yeah.
Fresh off the
story. Press. Story there. Only be told the pages of comic books. It costs billions of dollars.
Smell again. It has no smell whatsoever. Interesting.
Major motion picture. It's got to have some smell.
It has no smell whatsoever.
It's got to have some smell.
Bereft of smell, I tell you.
Don't believe you. I don't believe you.
I
think your olfactory senses are failing you, Steve.
Could be. Do us a favor, though. Give this video a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button. Also, if you're listening to us in the audio realm, leave us a rating, review, or comment. Goes a long way towards helping us build Going In Raw. Let's hop right into it. Who won the kickoff show? I did not watch the kickoff show.
I watched the kickoff show. It was pretty short. Natalya won. Sharpshooter Mandy tapped out. It was Mandy Rose versus Natalya. Natalya won.
All I did was I watched a moment of the kickoff on YouTube, and I screen capped some of the comments. And my God, it's like 28,000 people watching, and it's just like the weirdest, most vile comments, you know. Just these people, man. Anyways, so I thought the intro was pretty cool. It had like a really cool like radio person,
yeah,
doing the Hell in a Cell, and there was like apparently some like Aussie voiceover because his song was being used for Hell in a Cell, which is pretty cool. The match that kicked us off, was Bayley versus Bianca Belair. I thought this was the match of the night, and it kicked off the show. Maybe, I don't know, if this main evented, maybe my perception of the show in general would have been a bit different. Sometimes the last taste you have is the best one, and that's what you walk away with. But I thought this was, it for sure had the best, it for sure had the best finish, because man, this was brutal. So the story of this was kind of Bayley like trying to reference a lot of the stuff that happened last year with Sasha Banks. She's getting very creative, but it would always backfire on her.
Mm-hmm.
She introduced chairs pretty early. There's a standoff. She gets one before Bianca can get one. And also the hair comes into play a lot. Bayley whiffs on her first attempt to use the chair. Bianca uses her braid against the chair, then rams Bayley into the corner, then drop kicks her into the chair. So everything seems to backfire on Bayley in this match. Bayley takes over using the steel steps, ties Bianca's hair to the ropes, but she trips over the hair. Bianca uses it as a trip line, and she runs in the steel steps, tripping over the hair. Bayley gets the upper hand with the kendo stick, hits a sunset flip powerbomb into the cell wall. Bayley gets out. The quad kendo stick contraption makes like a bridge like happened last year, but she ended up going through him with a terrific spine buster from Bianca. Mm-hmm. That looked great. Bayley works Bianca over with the chair, though, ties her hair to the chair. Bayley tries to hit a knee to the chair, but Bianca's able to counter and sort of hits the chair on Bayley's knee.
Yeah.
She takes over, ties her hair to Bayley's hand, sends her into the cell wall. Bayley grabs a ladder, rams it into Bianca's midsection. Go down this finish because I missed a couple of the bits leading to the KOD on the open ladder.
So, yeah, you talk about the ladder, and she hits Bianca in the midsection with it, starts working over Bianca's arm with the ladder. That was Bayley's primary focus, was Bianca's arm. Down towards the finish, Bianca hits a glam slam into the corner, and then hits a senton on Bayley while she's on top of the ladder.
Yeah,
then she sets up the ladder so it's laying down flat on one side, but opens it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Steve. Do the shape
like
again.
Like this right here.
Yes. And then hits KOD on top of that to get the win.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Yeah, I thought this was a really, really good match. You could see Bianca getting, you know, improving in the ring. She's already awesome, but improving, getting even better, working with Bayley. Creative.
Yep.
It's great.
It's great stuff. Afterwards, Bianca has an interview backstage. She talks about how, yep, the match was brutal. She kept her title even though Bayley kicked her butt. That's pretty much it. So we get a quick little bit of MVP and Bob Lashley back in their private lounge. They're partying, and then Lashley gets serious. He's focusing. He's focused.
It's focused.
Focused. Focused. Focused. We go to Alexa's playground. It talks about how it's nice everybody joined her tonight. Lily is still serving her time out. She was naughty, but not nearly as naughty as Shayna. Shayna brought this on herself, but so don't blame Alexa. But there are lessons to be learned here. Careful what you wish for and expect the unexpected. When you knock on my door, you never know who or what will answer. So then we get Cesaro versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah. So did we ever get confirmation that Seth Rollins was referencing V?
No.
The final battle?
Or V. There was more than
mini
the final battle.
Was
there
first.
Was the original mini series and V the final battle. And then there was like a regular weekly series that might have lasted a season or two.
It all
I was a bit of a V aficionado in the mid-80s, mid-late 80s. So.
Well, I want to know if this attire is truly, you know, the saga of the lizard people come to Earth.
That I don't know.
Acting as friend first, but are they friend or foe? Foe. They're actually foe.
They were anyways. Foe. Yeah, spoiler alert. They were foe.
So Rollins attacked Cesaro before the bell here. Didn't really matter much, though, because Cesaro took over pretty early.
he fended Seth off pretty quickly.
Pretty easily.
Despite the sneak attack.
Rollins takes back over, though. Cesaro takes back over, stuffs Rollins' glove in his mouth, then hits a rainmaker. Cesaro boots the glove out of the ring, power slams Rollins. Rollins gets the upper hand. Cesaro hits him with a discus lariat. Cesaro gets that swing in, but that's sort of his win for the night. Because after that, he just starts stomping the crap out of Rollins' arm. And then Rollins takes advantage of Cesaro and his blood passion and rolls him up for three.
There was at least twice that Cesaro like took the level of violence to a degree that we're not used to from him. It was earlier than towards the end. So like, there's this great sequence where Cesaro puts Seth in a sharpshooter. Seth goes and reaches for the ropes. And so Cesaro grabs his arm, transitions to a cross face. Seth rolls him up. That gets a two. Cesaro right out of the kick out, right back into the sharpshooter. And then Seth does the same thing. He's reaching for the ropes again. Looks like Cesaro is going to go for the cross face again. Instead, he just starts stomping on his arm repeatedly.
Yeah.
And he's just getting heated. And then he like takes a pause, just the briefest pause, and then Seth rolls him up for the win.
Yeah. Yep.
So from I understand it's not a satisfying for a pay-per-view, not a satisfying finish to the match, but from the point of view of the story they're being told, they're telling, I get it. I don't mind this. Real like when Drew beat Randy by a backslide at SummerSlam last year. This is all off Randy beating Edge, best wrestler in the world. And in a wrestling match, he got beat by a backslide, a wrestling move. You know, we didn't take a claymore. It took an old school wrestling move to beat him. So satisfying, maybe not. Consistent with the story they're trying to tell. Yeah.
And that's asking a lot these days. So you have to appreciate it when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
After that, was there anything between that and Shayna versus Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, there was a brief little interview with Shayna. Oh, you might have been making.
That was the one at Gorilla.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I saw that. I didn't know there's any like interviews or anything. So yeah, before Shayna versus Alexa, they interviewed Shayna. Interviewer brings up Lily. She says, "Don't mention Lily again." Is Lily going to come back or no? I thought there was rumblings that did.
Yeah,
Alexa
probably. I thought I heard
she's going to come back.
I thought I heard something.
She said, "Alexa has fun playing with dolls. I have fun hurting people." Nia interjects, says, "You know, there's nothing wrong with having a little luck." And Reggie tries to do the gentleman's kiss to Shayna's hand. Shayna just slaps it away. I mean, this was a decent enough match. I just want Alexa to be done. I appreciate at least that the hypnosis stuff was merely a distraction and not a focal point, didn't lead directly to the match, because, you know, Alexa's laughing off a lot of Shayna's offense here.
Virtually all of it.
She does the elbow stomp thing, but Alexa's in her trance state, so, like, none of it really matters. She tries at one point as they're standing and Alexa has, like, her arms wrapped up. And Alexa tries to hypnotize Shayna, and Shayna's able to sort of, you know, fend it off and backs up and says, "No, you're not going to do that to me." Well, then she finds an easier mark, evidently, and that's Nia Jax.
Yeah.
So, like, Shayna breaks free of that, but then she eats a Luthez press. Alexa hypnotizes Nia Jax at that point. She does the hand thing and the hand movement.
It's kind of cheesy as what it was. I thought from a performance aspect, it was pretty well executed.
I'm okay with this stuff as long as it doesn't dictate the finish of the match. And this didn't. And I do think that there's a more clever way they can use this stuff. Although if they try this in front of fans, they're going to shit all over it. But I like the idea. I think it's a clever idea. So anyways, Alexa hypnotizes Nia Jax. Reggie comes over and tries to sort of, you know, find out what's going on. Nia just slaps the shit out of Reggie. And right when she does that, Alexa lets out what this like demonic scream, and Nia mirrors that. It's kind of a cool moment.
Yeah.
So then Shayna tries to take Alexa's back.
And that's when she goes for the clutch, that's when the hypnosis like ceases. And Nia is like, "Oh my gosh, what have I done?" So yeah. And then Bliss escapes, punches Shayna in the throat.
Oh yeah.
Hits kind of like a Sister Abigail DDT twisted Bliss to get the win.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm glad, again, that this wasn't like, oh, she has Nia Jax attack Shayna Baszler or some goofy shit like that. This was wrestling moves won the match. Yes. I don't necessarily agree that Shayna Baszler should be eating a loss like this, but Alexa's powered up like the Fiend, so I guess it's fine.
I guess it makes sense.
It is what it is. I mean, we asked for story logic. That's kind of as close as we're going to get.
I think so. After that, we had Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens is just like coughing all over the place.
Oh,
early in this match.
Disgusting.
Because he got the nail.
Still has the effects of the nail
from Friday.
Dose nails.
Which is, again, internal inconsistency over on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You get stabbed in the throat twice. Oh, that hurt.
Careful,
you know,
dude. And I'm like,
probably
Kevin
be
Owens.
Coughing.
Why are you still doing
that? So Sammy, like early on, kicks Kevin Owens when he's coming in the ring. Owens then turns tables and is just wrecking Sammy for a while. Corner clothesline, cannonball. And then Sammy starts targeting Kevin Owens' throat.
Targeted.
Kind of yanks his throat over the second rope. Hits a tope. And after that, Kevin Owens is selling shoulder. Actually got me worried about him. He's doing such a damn good job selling shoulder, like
terrific,
dislocated shoulder.
Terrific.
He's a terrific wrestler. So Sammy is targeting shoulder for a while. Owens makes comeback, some ground and pound. Sends Sammy out of the ring, hits clothesline, goes for a swanton off the apron. Sammy gets his knees up, back of the ring, Blue Thunderbomb gets a two. So Owens goes for a stunner. Sammy counters that with a half and half suplex. That gets him a two. Owens rolls out to the floor. Sammy follows. Owens hits him with a stunner. Sammy just barely beats that 10 count. Barely. So Owens hits a bunch of stomps. Sammy rolls the apron. He drapes Owens' arm and throat over the top rope. So Owens is kind of stumbling towards the rope's opposite hard camp.
Mm-hmm.
And Sammy runs behind him, knees him in the back of the head, so his throat bounces off the bottom rope. Kevin Owens gets up in the corner, eats a haluva kick. Sammy gets the W.
Yep. And Owens is afterwards, he's like, you know, they're doing a really good job. You know, hey, he got beat. This is kind of a big deal. You know, he's telling the trainers there, hey, you know, this hurts. It hurts. I don't like
it.
All right, I think he was pointing his shoulder. His shoulder's busted up. Yeah, good stuff. I like that match. I like that match a lot. You can put these guys in a ring for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. I prefer 30 minutes.
Honestly, yes.
But I'll take
it. With any kind of story. But here's the thing. With any kind of story.
Any kind of story. Doesn't matter.
They'll do a good job telling it. Comedy match.
You can put. They literally put Logan Paul in that match last of WrestleMania. And it was like still a great match.
Even though it barely got any time, but still really good.
Still a great match. After that, we had Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. Yeah, so the finish of this match left a lot to be desired. But I like this because it started with Charlotte sort of doing the sucker punch attack to Rhea. She throws the title at. She grabs the title from the ref as the ref is holding it up, throws it at Rhea, like sucker punches her, and then says, "That's lesson number one." So that's sort of the thing.
Boots, she like boots Rhea from the ring. That's lesson two.
Lesson number two. Rhea comes back, though, hits a rainmaker, headbutt, super kick, missile drop kick, gets two. Charlotte hits natural selection kind of out of nowhere, tries for a cheap pin, but Rhea kicks out of it. Charlotte hits that moonsault and then the recovery moonsault for two. Charlotte keeps on working Rhea's leg. That's sort of the story coming out of that. Rhea hits a superplex for two. We get some big chops from Charlotte, but then she ends up eating one of those turnbuckle pads. Then a riptide, but it's right near the ropes. Charlotte gets to the ropes. She gets that hand on the ropes or leg on the ropes, whatever it is. So they end up on the outside. She ends up running into Rhea's knees against the steps. So she sort of sandwiches them against those steps really hard. Rhea sells it like crazy. Back on the inside, she hits a spear, figure four. They end up rolling to the outside. And then Rhea sort of stumbles to the table and chucks. She sort of like just flips the table.
The hood of the announce table. Plywood hood of the table, yes.
Which just comes off like nothing. And it hits Charlotte. And the ref immediately DQs. Charlotte gets the DQ win. And boy, you lost your shit there.
Because it was a terrible finish. If you want the DQ finish, you want Rhea to lose her cool and get DQ'd intentionally, then do that. Her kind of like flipping the hood of the table ain't it.
I like when Larson loses his cool because it means more eyeballs on Going In Raw.
I guess so, because it was just a ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous finish.
And of course, it led to squeaking out another win.
Another tie with the Enforcer.
Another tie with the Enforcer.
I think that's four of the last five pay-per-views. There's been a tie in some.
Oh, my God.
There's been a lot of ties. You know why the whole reason we started doing confidence points? Because we're tired of ties.
I know, but it kind of shows that we do. Well, look, here's the thing. We got a clean slate. Not a clean slate, but we're doing new stuff after SummerSlam. You know, we're adding the Enforcer somehow to, like, the entire title scene.
Yeah.
Mothman might be added. Via Friendos. So lot fewer opportunities for ties. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
So anyways, after that ridiculous, stupid DQ, there's some more brawling. Rhea hits a riptide, whatever. It was the finish was bullshit, you know. So I guess Rhea got her heat back hitting that riptide. We're going to see this again at Money in the Bank. Charlotte will probably win there.
Maggie asks, Steve, can you give me some lottery numbers? She says, I'll share the earnings via the Patreon. Absolutely, because I've been killing it lately with all these ties. Or you can ask Enforcer, because we've been tying a lot.
Yeah, there's been a lot of ties.
A lot of ties. But champion's advantage, man. If you want to be the man, you can't just tie the man, Larson. You got to beat the man.
You know, I had an idea in the event of a tie, whoever picked most number of matches correctly. But here's the problem. On a 6-match card, guess what? We all picked 5 matches correctly.
Yeah. Dude, you know what, man? I have no problem. Because I'm probably going to lose this thing at Money in the Bank. I'd prefer to lose it in a big way at SummerSlam, but at this point, I just kind of want to lose it because, like, you're losing your... I feel like Impact, you got screwed so properly, so bad. That was horrible. And then tonight, because you were so full of, like, oh, I feel pretty good. Feel pretty good about
this. I thought there was a pretty good chance, given the story we had seen play on television, that Charlotte was going to get herself DQ'd. You know?
So close. They could have. I mean, it was honestly a coin flip in this case. Like, they could have gone with that.
I know. That would have made sense with the story they were telling on Raw. It made all sense.
Here's the thing, though, dude. You know, here's the thing. Charlotte, I suspect, knows how to politic backstage. She's like, well, if anybody's going to eat the loss, shouldn't it be Rhea? You know? Why would it be me?
Everybody's going to lose their cool.
I ate the loss to Nikki Cross a couple times.
Well, like, you got counted out once, and then you took longer than 2 minutes. You didn't get pinned. You didn't get submitted.
Ooh, I don't lose here.
Ooh. Instead, we all lost, having to watch through that finish.
Her name should be Charlotte Fair.
Because she doesn't lose.
She don't take the L's, man.
She don't take L's, yes. All right, let's talk about this main event.
Like Tennille Dashwood. Never bet against Tennille Dashwood.
I guess not. Let's talk about this main event, Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. Another really well-wrestled, physical match that was a decent finish short from being a quality bout.
Mm-hmm.
We went over the finish kind of a lot earlier in the show. We had the requisite ref bump. That led to the opening of the cage.
It was a really violent ref bump, too.
It was, which led to MVP getting in there. MVP got involved earlier, handing Lashley his cane to take to Drew.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's a lot of really physical spots. Early on, Drew hits an air raid crash on the ring steps after, like, throwing the ring steps around all over the place. The cane bit, that was good after, because Drew early on was wrecking Lashley.
Yeah.
Wreck it.
Yeah.
And then after the cane spot, it didn't take Drew long to resume reestablish the advantage. Hits a reverse Alabama slam onto a chair.
Mm-hmm.
That gets with two.
That air raid crash onto the steel steps earlier was gnarly. That was good stuff. Sucked. Yeah.
So he hits Lashley with a chair, goes another chair shot off the top. Lashley evades that. It's looking for a hurt lock. Drew escapes, hits a spine buster, two count, power bomb after that. And so they're down on the floor, and Drew tries to hit Lashley in the head with the ring steps. Well, Lashley blocked that, and then he started ramming the ring steps into Drew's head against the cage repeatedly.
Looked great. Yeah, it looked really cool. I mean, see that there's
a massive gap that still, there's no contact cool, whatsoever. Yeah. But the idea
these guys were killing themselves in there, dude.
They were beating the heck out of each other. Exactly. So at that point, MVP takes a kendo stick and pins Drew against the cage, and then Lashley just starts hitting a bunch of shots, body shots, shots across Drew's chin. Lashley takes a moment to get his breath. Drew breaks through the kendo stick. Lashley drops him with a flatliner. Then Lashley in the ring sets up a chair, hits Drew with a flatliner on that. Then again, some kendo stick shots. Drew catches one, takes a chair to Lashley. And that's when the ref bump happens. So Bobby pushes Drew into the ref while Drew has the chair up. So the ref hits the chair. Drew then pushes Lashley into a chair that he had set up in the corner earlier in the match. Hits a future shock, covers, but there's no ref. So Drew tells the ref who's manning the door, get in the ring. While that's happening, Lashley puts on the hurt lock. Drew escapes that, hits belly to belly, some more chair shots. Claymore, again, covers. Ref makes his way in. However, the door is open, allowing MVP to get in the cage. He pulls the ref out of the ring during the cover. Drew is very upset. He goes after MVP, hits him with the claymore. MVP rolls out of the ring to the floor. Drew follows. It looks like he's trying to take his Hurt Business chain off of him. Yeah. Lashley comes up behind him, hurt locks. It's this, like, similar situation he was in earlier, I guess, or later in the match. Hurt lock. Drew tries to use the wall of the cage to break it, can't. Instead, he rams himself and Lashley backwards through a table that had been set up in the corner of the cage earlier. Back of the ring, Drew clobbers Lashley with a bunch of chair shots, goes for a claymore. Lashley either ducks or collapses to avoid it. Lashley clotheslines Drew into the ring post. The choke slams Drew off the apron through a table. Lashley's going for a spear. Drew avoids that. Looks for a backslide. Bobby kicks out. Drew hits a headbutt. Future Shock. He's setting up for a claymore, and that's when MVP grabs his ankle, and Lashley comes to enough to roll up Drew to get the W.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been so cool if, I mean, I don't know. I probably would have appreciated a lot more if Drew, like, you know, kicks his leg free and then eats a spear or two, you know? Like, something violent, something to justify, validate the violence of this match. Because, man,
I know
the good stuff.
The roll-up really undercuts the lengths these two guys went to put on a really hard-hitting physical match.
Yeah.
It just ends in a roll-up.
I watched Shuri versus Hayashi Shida in Stardom. And that match was just, it was violence until you got a time limit draw. And then they get on the mics and they say, hey, I don't want this to stop. So that, I don't want to spoil it for people, but it's just violence, infinite violence. And they're brutal. Killer match. This is the one that Meltzer gave like 5.5 stars to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's great. And I'm like, that's sort of, you know, that's how I wouldn't mind to see this end, you know, just pure violence until they can't do violence anymore. Instead, mm-hmm. get a roll up.
I know.
And it's the blow off, you know, it's like Drew. I mean, I, like you said, I understand. Well, in a way it keeps, why was Drew trying to get MVP's necklace? That was such a Debo thing. While I'm down here, I'm gonna steal this guy's jewelry. Oh, the encrusted diamonds. I'm going to take, I like rocks. Get the flying rocks for my entrance. And I got these rocks too. Yeah, I don't know, man. Violence, no roll-ups. Oh, he stuffed it in his mouth. Is that what he did?
Mayday says he stuffed.
It'd been way cooler if he took it.
The camera was behind Drew when she was leaning over MVP. It was hard to tell exactly what he was doing on my little screen here.
Yeah. Man, good stuff. Anyways, there's our review. We got a couple of questions here in our Twitch chat.
Sure.
White Brownie says, should NXT be included in Money in the Bank matches like they are with the Rumble matches?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, sure.
Make a deal of it in NXT. Have qualifying matches, like a little mini tournament.
You know, big four. Put NXT matches in them. Why not?
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
It'd be great.
Mr. Dark with sub here says, why was Roman versus Ray really moved to SmackDown? We don't know for sure. I would suspect it has to do with ratings and such.
You know, man, they really should have just put Drew versus Bobby on Raw with that finish and Roman versus Ray on the pay-per-view with that finish. Because that was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good match.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Dr. Lipkin says, speaking of the man, Becky wins Money in the Bank and cashes in on a newly champion Charlotte. Could be.
It's possible, I suppose.
It's possible. I think we're going to get some fun. I think the good shit's coming up. We're going to get some fun stuff.
I think we're going to get some short-term stuff they think is going to solve problems. But after that short-term stuff has happened, we're going to go back to the same old stuff.
Well, you know, wrestling is a series of moments. All you have to worry about are the short-term things.
But
popping
here's the
thing. Ratings.
If you don't tell the stories that make those moments really meaningful, they're kind of forgettable in the end.
Yeah. That's what you want. Mikhail. Okay. More red card jokes. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate it. Twitch chat, stick around. We'll talk to you guys for a bit. We'll talk at you for a bit. Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angi has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angi app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.